All right, let's bring in Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey analyst. Dave, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Very well, Jim. And this whole mail it in Friday thing, why am I a Friday regular?
I wouldn't read anything into it.
Really enjoy. I love Fridays. This whole mail it in concept doesn't work for me. I'm always working on Fridays. I love Fridays.
Well, that's why you're here. Somebody has to carry the show. I mean, if we were all in the mail and in mode, there wouldn't be much of a broadcast here. So, you know, we were talking about Nick Robertson, so I'm going to take that name out. But when you have a high-skill young prospect, forward prospect, then clearly, you know, that high skill means they can score. The game away from the puck, how does that develop?
Well, simply by doing it and a willingness to do it. And, you know, I always said playing defense was like cleaning. I can teach you to clean. It's not very much fun. But at the end, you actually have a tangible product that's clean. And maybe because I'm a good, I like to clean in life, maybe that's why I ended up playing more of a defensive role. I don't know. But you can learn it. The offensive side of it, you can only learn to a point. A lot of that is innate talent that you're born with, and certainly you can develop it. But if you don't have the offensive side of it, you're only going to get to a certain height. You can really grind away and become a good defensive player. So it's a willingness to do it as much as anything, Jim, but it's critical to do it. And, you know, you've got to take every opportunity and you've got to study it. And it's more fun to practice what you're good at. It just is. And you find that all the time. You have the willingness to grind away and do the things that aren't that pretty in the game, keep people in the game for a long time.
Pooley, coming into this training camp, there's been a lot of talk about if Nick Robertson has a great camp, he can make the team, he can play on the second line with Tavares and Nylander. And I'll be honest, like where I stand on it, I think he needs to cook in the minors a little more. I just think I need to see a little more away from the puck. I need to see a little more 5-on-5. I think he's got a fantastic shot. I think he's got a great nose for the net. But I want to see the game come around a little more. When you watch him play, what does he need to do to become an NHL regular?
I think it's as much learn to play with others, you know, at that level. And when you've been the best player, you haven't had to give up the puck as readily. You haven't had to do the things. And so much of the game right now, Frankie, is played along the wall. You have to have an ability to play along the wall. And I've been in Montreal this week. I did a couple games there. And we chatted with Martin St-Louis about a young player playing the off wing. And he said, you know, they talk about it and you talk about stick position and offense, and said the hardest thing is the hard wrap in your own zone at the blue line if you're on your off wing for a young winger. And that's hard to get used to. I mean, it's hard to be able to do that. You watch veteran players play the point, essentially the high wing in the defensive zone. They are masters at getting that puck out, Frankie. You know, you looked up when you were there and you would see who it was and you'd say, I can throw anything up there. And it's getting out of the zone. And then sometimes you'd hesitate and go, man, I can't throw the puck up there right now because I don't know.
Oh, it's when you ice it.
Well, that's exactly right. But it's all those little details, and it's the details along the boards, the short game, if you will, you know, the 3-foot passes, the 5-foot passes. We know he can accept the stretch pass in full speed like he did the other night from Giordano, and we know he can score a goal. But all the little details of the game, he has to continue to work at. But you know, when a player is a skilled player like that, the decision has to be made, okay, he's a top six player. That's, you know, pretty much what everyone thinks. Well, can he be one of our top six players? And if he can't, can he fit in the bottom six? Is he willing to do that, and can he do that? Maybe the answer is no. And in a way, you're fault a little bit because people can't fit into your top six. Well, the problem is your top six is so good. It's hard to fit into. And sometimes it's a complementary player. Like if you said, before you knew Michael Bunting's game, if you said, okay, we have this guy who's played 26 NHL games that we think can complement, and he's 26 years old and he's played 26 games, we think he can complement two of the elite players in the league. Boy, oh boy. You know, that doesn't happen all the time. Michael Bunting is a tremendous story, but that simply doesn't happen all the time. It's a hard role to play to be a complementary player because you have to have up to a specific skill set. I think Robertson's skill set is higher than Michael Bunting's. I don't think his skill set is higher than Michael Bunting's. And I say that, I'm not being funny about that, but the overall skill set encompasses many more things than just offensive skills.
So, Pooley, we all know your incredible resume as far more than a complimentary player, and I think you're a good guy. As somebody who won the Selke Trophy as the league's best defensive forward, I think you're perfect guy to comment on the idea of forwards playing defense, specifically Mitch Marner. What do you make of it?
He's capable. Once again, if he wants to do it, he's capable. And Dave, I'm not going to put you to the trivia test because I think the answer is pretty obvious. But I played with a converted forward. I think he played his first 4 or 5 years at forward in the NHL and was runner-up for the Norris and is in the Hall of Fame, and that's Mark Howe.
Of course.
And so, and Mark Howe was really comical because when I came into the league in 82, 83, he had literally just started playing D. And he still played forward when he killed penalties. And he would turn and skate forwards with you. That's how he defended you. And we asked him about it one day, and he goes, well, I can't skate backwards. I can skate forwards. I'm going to turn skate forwards with you.
Right.
And, you know, he was such a great skater and had a willingness to do it and became one of the elite defensemen in the National Hockey League. Do I think there are a number of forwards that could play defense? I do. I really do. And, you know, it's as much about now. Mark Howe is also blessed for 6 or 7 years in that he didn't have to go back and get the puck ever because Ron Hextall was back there.
Right.
And so he never got forechecked. And he had a great partner, a tremendous partner in Brad McCrimmon. But I think there are a lot of guys, and it's funny because at the young position, you know, so many of the skilled players are pushed up front and play forward. And if you're a highly skilled young player, you're generally play forward. And there's some reason that a coach will put you back on defense. And sometimes that reason is because with young kids, you know, there are teams that only have four defensemen, so you play every second shift.
Right.
And they actually moved me. When I played Tier 2, they moved me back to defense because they wanted to play me every second shift. It was as simple as that. It wasn't
probably because you were smart enough too, Pooley, right?
Well, I could think the game well. I'm an unbelievable beer league defenseman. Like, frankly, I rule the beer leagues in the defense position.
I love it.
I do. I sit back there and just jump on people, and I enjoy it immensely. And, you know, you think about it, I laugh, but I see the game so well from back there. So if you were to put Mitch Marner back there, and certainly there's some schooling to do about he knows how to angle on the forecheck, the angle on the deep, on the back check, on the, you know, with forwards. And certainly there are a lot of nuances of the game. But I think a player that skilled, who's that good a skater with that good edge work. And the other thing about Marner, he's been smaller his whole life. So he knows how to not get hit. He knows how to effectively use his body. You know, and I watched Patrick Kane come into the league and there were people, you know, and I was around Chicago a lot at that time. And there were people that said, this kid's going to get killed at this size. And what they realized was Patrick Kane had always been smaller than everybody. He knew how to play at that size,
yep.
And he used, I don't know if you realize this about him, Frankie, he used your body against you.
Yep.
So if he was in the corner and you were coming in to hit him, he would wait and he would propel out of the corner with your weight. It's a phenomenal skill. And so that's the type of thing you'd have to really study, you know, if you were moving an elite forward like Mitch Marner back to play defense. But do I think he could do it? I think he's that skilled. I think he could do it.
Pooley, let's talk about the grit level on the Leafs. You know, when you watch Bunting play, he's an agitator. He makes people accountable. I think from what we've seen out of Yarncroak, he could do that too. But overall, is there enough grit in that forward unit?
Well, Obey Kubel would be one that would contribute that. You know, if he's part of the mix, I think Alex Steeves can contribute some of that. You know, he's had a good camp. He's part of the mix. And I don't think it has to be one guy. You know, if you've got 3 or 4 or 5 that are willing to do it, you know, it seems to be more of a factor in the playoffs, Jim. It seems to be that's where it's when you're matching up against the same guys every night and, you know, and you're really grinding out, that's when it appears to be. Because no one would say that, you know, that that Yarncroke is a, I guess, an abrasive player, but he's a gritty player. And, yeah. you know, and they call him Blackwell. It's kind of a gritty player. They weren't big. They weren't going to run you over or anything, but they could mix it up and play that type of game. And I don't know how this lineup's going to shake out to know if there's enough. I'd say Aston Reese has more intrigue for me on the third or fourth line because he brings some of that as well and some of that finishability. And we're not talking about fighting here, guys. We're talking about grinding, playing a down low game, playing a game along yep. the wall. And that's where I go back to Nick Robertson. A lot of the game is played along the wall right now, and you've got to be involved in that part of the game.
It's funny because I was watching the Montreal game that you were doing, and I'm trying to get a read on Juraj Slafkovský, the first overall pick. And there's a couple times the puck is on the wall, and puck doesn't get out. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you really want to get Marty St. Louis' attention, you want to get pucks out on the wall because he'll see the goals. He's going to see the skill. He's going to see the work ethic, you know, the way he's pursuing pucks, the strength, the speed, all that stuff. Everyone in the stadium can see that. But the little subtleties to the game, that's what Marty St. Louis is going to see. And, you know, when it comes to Slafkovský, Pooley, what have you seen from him? I think he's only played two games maybe, but what have you seen from the first overall pick? And do you think... You know, do you think he stays? Do you think he goes back for a little more seasoning? Where are you at with that?
Well, the seasoning has been tough over the last couple of years, and we've talked about the development through the pandemic where kids played all different numbers of games, and so it hasn't been normal. I saw enough in the first game that I did. I think this kid's going to be special, Frankie. I really do. And I see the reach. I see flashes of what he's capable of with his body. It'll be learning to use the body more. But he has the ability to turn and put that big butt out and protect the puck away from his body like Jaromír Jágr did. Yeah. I mean, Jágr could hold the puck 6 feet away from him and you couldn't touch it. First of all, to get around his rear side was like doing a marathon. I mean, it was so wide. And Slafkovský's got that build. He does. And the nuances of playing along the wall are just that. That's experience. But I think he has the frame to do it. And I think he has a willingness to do it. And, you know, there were three plays, and the beauty of being in the building, Frank, is I can watch away from it, right? And yeah. There were three things he did on the first shift that I said, yep, this is going to be fine. And you might say, come on, you can't evaluate a player in one shift. And I wouldn't dare to think I could. But I saw three significant things on his first shift in the Bell Center in his first NHL game that told me that he was going to be just fine.
Dave, we were doing a little bit of yes guy, no guy, the trademarked official version with the tap.
Oh, guy, wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
What?
Go ahead. It's what? Okay. The lawyer just came
on. I was trying to pay homage. I was trying to pay homage to your litigious nature, Tap Man, and because I do respect
genuflected.
It.
I genuflected when you did that. Dave.
Exactly. I respect it, and I fear it. Frankly, I fear it because I'm not rich enough to deal with it. But no, we were talking a little bit of yes guy, no guy, and the Tap Man was a yes guy. Pooley, on the idea that with, you know, Jake Muzzin getting up there in years and coming into camp with the back discomfort and, you know, Timothy Liljegren already out and, you know, Mark Giordano into his late 30s, that the Leafs should really be looking to upgrade this blue line outside the organization. Jacob Chychrun, of course, is the hot name out there, has made known his, preference to be moved out of Arizona, but he may be too big a ticket for the Maple Leafs. But how do you feel if you're Kyle Dubas and the rest of the management team, how do you feel about your defensive depth as you sit today?
I'm a little happier that I signed Rasmus Sandin and have him in the fold, the number I wanted him in the fold at. That's a really nice thought to think about Jacob Chychrun. I don't know how they're going to get around the exact situation they're in. Forget about adding anybody. I mean, this is going to take Brandon Pridham's best work that he's done to work this salary cap with the injuries they have, the amount they're over the cap now, the situation with John Tavares, just pure numbers of guys. And mm-hmm. It's going to take some significant work to get under the cap on opening night. And so while, you know, the thought of adding a $5+ million defenseman, it's got to be more dollars out than are coming in it just flat out does right now for the Leafs. But, you know, I think they've got their ear to the ground. I think they're watching to see what happens with maybe some depth guys who signed, you know, PTOs, or to see what teams do, see if somebody tries to slide somebody through waivers that they've signed that may be cap amenable to them. But in terms of adding anything big right now, I don't see any way to do it. I spent the morning after they had a couple of injuries, so I guess it was after, I don't know, Tuesday's game or Wednesday's game, I spent about 3 hours on the cap the next day, looking through different teams in the league. And there's some teams in tough situations. There are. And Toronto is one of them. They're just, it's going to take a lot of work to get the team as it's composed right now under the cap.
Pooley, you know what else was a lot of work? Submitting the TSN Top 50 Players list to the Quizmaster, which you and I were both a part of. And I saw 41 through 50 came out today, and Chris Letang was 50, Jack Hughes at 49, Kreider at 48, DeBrink at 47. And I was just wondering, any surprises in there? I know Jake Gensel makes an appearance at 41, Jacob Slavin at 42. What'd you think of the nine players that came out today?
Yeah, I had 18 new players on my list from last year.
Ooh.
That's how much I think the league is changing. Yeah. And yet I had some, you know, Steven Stamkoses and guys like that on it, but I'm a little more aggressive in flipping guys in and out of that. Okay. And I saw that, and I had Brady Tkachuk at 40, I believe. He ended up at 51. And the player I had 51 was Timmy Stützle. But, you know, when you get to 30, I think my top 20 are pretty much in line with most of the guys. I had Kevin Fiala a little bit higher than anybody else did, but because I think he's going to have a big year. And this is a projection.
I had Fiala in there.
Yeah, you're asked to project, right? Like, I think Fiala's in a good situation. He's going to L.A. They got some skill for him to play with. I think he has a good year. But it's funny, when you get to those names, I have Gensel higher than he was. You know, and some of the other names, I think we're pretty close in terms of total number. I believe I only had seven players different from the top 50, but I had 18 new names.
Well, it does get a little subjective, right? Like the top 10, top 20, we're all going to have the same names, maybe in a different order. After that, it's an opinion. It really is. It's your expert opinion versus everyone else's expert opinion.
That's exactly right. And we're all experts, Frankie. We know
that's
that.
Right.
Hey, let me throw this out there. There's an ESPN piece that says the Leafs could miss the playoffs. So I guess let's end on this, Pooley. What is the bigger story in this division? Is it erosion at the top or the build from the bottom?
I don't think it's erosion at the top. I think it's built from the bottom. I really do. I mean, everybody wants to write off Boston. I think Tampa's still going to be fine. I think Florida has some questions, believe it or not, with their D. But I think it's the build out at the bottom that's coming. I think it's Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa. And I think that's going to be fun. And if that is what causes the erosion at the top, is those three teams coming, then we're in for a great year in the division. I think it's really going to be fun. And I do think that those three teams are all coming. And I think Ottawa's further ahead. I think Detroit is sneaky, sneaky. And Buffalo also going in the right direction, but trailing those. And, you know, everybody's quick to write off Boston, but Krejci coming back is not an underestimated thing for what it does for their top six group. I'm not sure they have the goaltending to be, you know, a real factor, but until Tampa goes away, for me, they're not going away. Steven Stamkos, what did he end up? Six in the league in scoring last year?
106 points, I believe.
106 points.
Yeah.
And you know, when I had him on my list, on my top 50, and when I look at it, I seriously take into consideration, like, don't forget about a team because you don't see them as much.
Yeah.
And so I already had four Tampa Bay guys, and I go, I can't have five Tampa Bay guys. I'm like, well, I can't leave Steven Stamkos off the list because he was number five.
Braden Point was the sleeper for me for Tampa. It's like, wait a second, I need to have Braden Point in here, even
exactly
though it was a bit of a down year.
That's exactly right, because you're projecting that he's going to come back with a flourish.
Yeah.
Pooley, thanks for bumping us from Mail It In Friday to Excellent Show. I really appreciate that transition.
Always happy to be a part of it, Yes Guy. As soon as they said Yes Guy's host, and I said, I'm in.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys. Always good to chat.
That's our Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey analyst, that sort of got out of sequence there with the word.